Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallen, S like in Sam's, Allan.com. Tweet me at Bruce Allen as well. We have Pastor Drew Sams back from Hawaii. He's the head pastor at Bel Air Presbyterian Church. He and his wife, Erica, are the proud parents of, he was going to say baby Judah, but he's young man Judah, who's 2 years and 3 or 4 months old. Welcome back from Hawaii and welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
So how did it go being away from Judah for probably the longest time you've ever been away?
Well, it has been the longest time. You know, it was a week for me, and it was actually a week and a half for my wife, because my wife, I don't know if I told you this, she got really sick right before our trip, and so my parents were watching him, didn't want him to get sick, because they didn't want him to be sick while they were watching him, and so she still hasn't seen me yet. I went and picked him up this morning from my parents. We got in late last night to LAX about midnight, and so I've got him today, and we'll be one big happy family tonight for dinner. But it was an amazing trip. But good to be back home.
Did you surf?
Didn't surf, but I stand-up paddleboarded. Oh, that was fun.
Why didn't you surf? You were in Hawaii.
I know. Well, there was no the side of the island that I was on, there was no surf. It was flat as a lake. So it was great for snorkeling, great for stand-up paddleboarding. We had an amazing time.
Well, I'm glad. So quickly give us an update on how Judah's doing. He's over being sick. Your wife was sick. So he didn't get it, I hope. And how is he doing? What are his summer plans?
Yeah, well, he'll be getting his cast off in the next week, and then we're going to finally get to the swim lessons that we had to postpone because he jumped out of his crib and broke his arm about 6 weeks ago. So getting that off next week, and we'll finally be able to enjoy summer in a pool.
Good. Excellent. It's amazing how fast little kids can heal. That's so good, and how they'll just shrug it off. So I'm sure you're going to have a great summer. So listen, Pastor Drew, I've been ranting a bit about what's going on in the Middle East, President Obama's indifference, it seems, to Israel. And I read a letter from a rabbi who, among other things, expressed a lot of concern about how Western media portrays it, but also was a little bit upset with the Presbyterian Church, which has called for boycotts of Israel. Yet there's all these murders going on of Christians all over the world, and Israel's the only democracy in that part of the world doing more good for its own citizens and Arabs than certainly any of the Arab countries. So it's a little bit morally odd that the Presbyterian Church would take that stance, and I'm curious what you have to say in response to that.
Sure, yeah. So here I am. I'm a new pastor at Bel Air Presbyterian. It's been 10 weeks in, and one of the things that I've learned as I've come in is that the United States government, actually its founding, modeled its structure of government actually after the Presbyterian form of government. I didn't know that coming into this job, but basically what that means is that we have local churches, kind of like we have citizens throughout the United States, and you have delegates that represent certain geographical areas that then meet every other year at what's called General Assembly, and that happened about 2 weeks ago. So there was about 600 delegates representing 172 different regions throughout the entire United States. And so at that, there has been long talk over the last 10 years about three companies that they believe are allegedly their products are being used in non-peaceful ways. So Caterpillar, Hewlett-Packard, and Motorola. And I'm thinking, what are they doing? You know, I got nothing against Caterpillar, Hewlett-Packard, and Motorola. Well, allegedly, and this is a group that put this idea on the floor of General Assembly, that those products were being used in a non-peaceful way. And so they called for the divestment. In other words, they're no longer going to in the future invest in those companies. That won by a vote of 7 people out of 600. So I think it was 304 to 311. So immediately the news hits, the Presbyterian Church has divested from the nation of Israel, which on one hand, sadly, couldn't be farther from the truth. You can't divest in a nation. You can divest in companies. Those are three American companies. And those companies are in a long list of other companies that operate in other countries. But what I did immediately was I realized, okay, I've got such great relationships with the local rabbis, and the local Jewish leadership. So I actually drafted an email that went out to the local leaders that I didn't realize actually got circulated among many of the rabbis in Los Angeles. And it got picked up by the Jewish Journal. I actually forwarded this to you, right at the break.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to communicate to them that our church in no way supports what the denomination voted on. And we've stood against it. We've actually been part of a group that's filed a formal, not complaint, I can't remember the official word, but basically to have them relook at it. Mm-hmm. One of the things I said in the article was, in the same way that, let's say, some in England thinks that a U.S. citizen believes the same belief as, let's say, the U.S. government, and we know that's not true. You know, let's say, our current president puts in practice a certain law, and then it's easy for people outside the United States to think, oh, well, every U.S. citizen must believe what, Barack believes. We know that's not true. And the same is true that every local church in the denomination doesn't believe what the General Assembly group voted on. So,
well,
sadly,
just so I'm clear on one part of that, you've made a very good case of describing it, and the analogy to the U.S. government is really helpful. But in the Catholic Church, for instance, there are certain things that are allowed and not allowed. Let's just talk about abortion as one of them. So every Catholic is supposed to be anti-abortion or anti-birth control, as we've seen with all these cases against Obamacare. When they vote for something like this to divest of those three companies or boycott Israel, I'm not sure if these are the same events that were referred to in the letter by the rabbi, is that then an instruction that every Presbyterian is supposed to follow, like the ban on contraception or abortion in the Catholic Church?
No, in fact, the way the Presbyterian Church of the USA, that's the largest Presbyterian denomination of which my local church is a part of, they actually, very inherent in their DNA is that they give the local churches the permission to be very diverse in what they believe, which makes it even more complicated. So another topic that came up, for some this is even more controversial, some this is less controversial, but they voted at this General Assembly to allow local churches in the states where it's legal, if they so choose, to perform same-gender marriages.
Oh, interesting.
So immediately I got emails from some of our members saying, so does this mean, there'll be weddings at Bel Air, between, let's say, two members of the same sex, assuming that it was like you mentioned, the Catholic Church, which it's, a mandate down from the top. Unlike that, the Presbyterian Church gives freedom to local churches. It's almost like they put it to the state. The federal says, well, let's let the states figure it out.
So what are you guys doing with that one then? How did you approach that permission slip? Are you choosing to go that way, or are you bringing it up to a vote? How does that work in your church?
Yeah, so technically the authority of our local church is among the elders, of which I am a part, so the pastors and the elders. And we have in the past and will continue to only officiate the marriage between one man and one woman. And so unfortunately that's caused some people to be upset. They're leaving our church saying, well, now that you're allowed to, why don't you take the opportunity? But, as we come to Scripture, we believe that this description of marriage is something between one man and one woman. It's from all the way back in the beginning of Genesis. So in a sense, though we have that permission slip, we're choosing not to use that permission slip.
So you as a group, the elders chose that. I can understand that would create, oddly enough, much more than the Israel thing, that in Bel Air, knowing the community, that would create a potential dividing line among some members. I applaud your courage to take that stand, and more so that you're taking a lead on the the position about Israel and those companies. Again, I don't know enough about those companies, but I do know that there's the impact on Israel is substantial. Listen, sure. We're out of time, Pastor Drew. Quickly tell our listeners where they can find you, and thank you so much for this information.
Yeah, as always, too quick, but on all social networks, at Surfer Drew, and our church's website is Bel Air Press with one S .org.
Terrific. Well, give a hug and a kiss to Judah, and tell Erica I hope she continues to feel better, and I'll talk with you next week.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it, Bruce.
Okay, stay tuned for some therapy with Dr. Weberman coming right up.
Around 2-3 years later, it's time to leave showbiz. Gets a divorce, now he's single again. Time to start slaying with ladies, cause he's the man. Settles down a couple years later with the dope wife.